Hey y'all. Hey y'all. This one is explicit.
Hello, Jess.
Hi, Elsie.
So excited. We're in person.
We're in person, face to face.
We'll see how this recording actually comes out after this.
Should I be closer to
you? Yes, maybe you should move a little. Just imagine. We'll see how this works out because this is the first time we're actually using this.
I'm not as tall as you.
So that actually brings us into the conversation.
I have to rest my boobies on the table.
Oh my God, if you can, should I take a picture? Because that would be
no need.
All right, so it's funny that you said that because we were just interviewed by Chuck Joyner from Mac Voices. And it's a video podcast, but then we were sitting side by side and he has to put the microphone, put it across, and he was saying how we had to change size because I was taller and that would be that your
face. This way it wouldn't look like I was eating the mic when he was trying to talk to Elsie, that I wasn't eating on his elbow.
Yes, so we had to change positions. But that's actually, you know, we were having a conversation with him about the conversation from feedback that we got from a male listener.
Well, actually, it started out, not to interrupt.
Yes,
it started out with him because once we told him what our show was about, he started having all these questions in his head that he wanted to interview us about, like all about women's issues and women in podcasting and is it sexist to think this or sexist to do that. And so he had a lot of interesting questions for us,
yes,
I thought.
It was really good. And he was really coming at it from a completely different perspective, which was even amazing.
Which was trying hard not to offend us.
Yeah.
And he was trying very hard not to offend us.
And it was
really
so good
because,
yeah, but it's so great that he didn't know anything about us. So it was really new and kind of exciting. So one of the conversations that we had was based on the fact that we had some feedback that a male listener wanted to be part of the conversations that we have on the She Podcast Facebook group. Mm-hmm. And that he was sad that it was only in Facebook and that it was only women. Well, actually, I think he said only women. He said only on Facebook.
Let me look.
Oh, my God. And so, anyway.
Well, because we need to, you know, for the sake of accuracy,
for the sake of accuracy,
make sure what we are discussing is what he's worried about.
But I do believe it was mostly because it was a closed system on Facebook, which I believe he does not use. And
you're right. So what he says, sorry to interrupt,
no worries.
What he says is, my only disappointment is that you host discussions, etc. on Facebook. Facebook is a closed system. Any other approach would be appreciated.
Exactly. Any other approach. So then, it was ouch.
But he's kind of a famous dude, but we're not going to say who's because we're not into name dropping.
Because, no, we don't. We're not into it. And so then I made me start to think about it. And what I said is, like, he's not our target audience. And you agreed with me, right?
Yes.
And you
originally when we got the email, we discussed it. Should we do something about it? And both of us were like, nah, we don't care if he listens or not. We're not going to change our whole business because Dude X wants us to participate.
Or even if
he is famous.
Right. And so that's what it was. And I thought, yeah, that's true. Most of our listeners are on Facebook and they understand that. But then Chuck gave us something to think about because
I
know, because we do have a lot more male listeners than I really thought, especially now that we're, you know, live at NMX, which is where we're speaking about, that we actually do have.
The dude factor is coming into play.
I know, and they want to participate in a really wonderful way, and then we appeal to them because it is refreshing. It's something they haven't heard of before. It's conversations they haven't heard of before. Mm-hmm.
And they have opinions
as well. Right?
We all know a man.
Oh, my gosh.
And they have opinions. Right, dudes?
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
But here's the thing. So how do we? So we're asking you guys to give us feedback because this is so important. What should we do? Like, you have ideas to be inclusive. We're thinking Twitter. Some Twitter stuff.
My first suggestion was, let's give them a test.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We will test the men like a quiz. And basically, it's to see whether or not they're truly an avid listener or if they just want to get in there and promote their crap.
Mm.
So we'll do like an episode 25. What did Elsie say?
Oh, my God.
Right? We'll do like a quiz, almost like they're, you know, taking the state standardization test, right? We'll quiz them on She Podcast, or at least something minimal to, like, just let us know that they're, like, a part of our community, and then we'll let them in.
Dude, what about this?
Do you like that idea, though, Elsie?
Well, I kind of do.
Should we test them?
We have to test them, but
or
ladies...
Or is that just rude, kind
no,
of?
No, 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 but ladies...
We don't test the women, though.
No, we don't, but wait.
We don't know
if
they listen.
You have to wait.
Okay,
hold on.
I'm sorry.
All right. So, okay. we get the emails. We have people that are calling us, not calling us on the phone, of course, emailing us and saying, hey, I listen to She Podcast. Or like, let's say the gentleman that we've met at NMX that said, oh my, I love your show. And then add them to the group physically because they've come up to us or they've sent us feedback about the show. I don't think we have to test them. Mm-hmm. I think it's different if somebody just requests to be added on Facebook because we have no connection. But if they send us a feedback and they said that they'd like to be part of the group, the only place that we ask is in the show. So if they listen to the show,
then
automatically they'll know that's the only process to go.
Girl, you smart.
See? Because that way we don't have to test them. They just know that they're listening to the show.
However, eventually that could get hairy only because as you know, like when you're in one group, on the sidebar on the right, it says groups your friends are in or other groups to join.
Right, but then they won't. But what I'm saying is we won't let any guys in if they just request to be part of the group. We will add them.
Right.
We will add them.
See. We'd have to friend them first.
Yes.
But yes.
We would add them.
It does add an element of administrative harassment.
I don't think we're going to get droves.
Hassle.
Yeah.
No, we're not going to get droves.
Yeah.
That's true.
I don't think that would be a surprise. No,
certainly.
I know. It would be. No, but that would totally be kind of, yeah. So what do you guys...
It may be creepy.
ladies...
A drove is a lot of people. It's like a plethora. By the way, just so you know, Elsie is drinking tequila neat, and I just had a pina colada.
With a shot of amaretto. Hello.
With an accidental shot of amaretto, because they don't know what her tequila brand is.
No, we have to tell them.
She goes,
we have to tell
them. I don't think that's tequila. And I took a sip, and I just happened to have an amaretto like 2 days ago, and I was like, oh yeah, that's amaretto. Like, I'm an alcoholic, right? I take a sip, and I'm like, that's amaretto. Like, I'm an expert. Like, I'm a bartender.
No, but you have to see this.
I don't even drink hardly.
Wait, hold on. So Jess gets her pina colada, and I get my drink, whatever that was, right? And so I sit there. Well, yeah, that's it. And I take a little sip, and I'm like, I mean, I haven't drank in so long. So then I'm thinking, was tequila sweet? Did I totally forget the taste of tequila?
She hasn't, because she hasn't left the house in so long, people, that she doesn't know what tequila tastes like.
Would
you call yourself Hispanic or Latina?
Latina, thank you very much.
That this Latina beauty does not even remember the taste of tequila.
Exactly.
She hasn't had it in so long.
And so when I drank it, I was like, usually I used to feel like
poof,
going up my nose and going like, huh, fire.
Yeah.
When I drank tequila.
I can smell it right now when you talk.
Great. Now I'm going to go back to work and I'll have tequila breath. Do we have gum?
Somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway,
so tequila breath. And what was I saying?
The
amaretto.
Amaretto.
So I'm drinking and I thought, wow, this is really sweet. Wow, this went down really easy. Mm-hmm. This is not tequila. And then Jess goes, we have to have her change it. And then before the lady comes, she grabs the tequila and she pours it inside her. I mean, the amaretto.
And my pina colada.
Pina colada.
I poured half of it in. Don't waste it. They're just going to throw it out.
Could you imagine? She comes back. It's only a little bit. This is not tequila. Can I have it?
I mean, you could have just said I did a big shot of it by accident, thinking it was tequila.
That's true. Because I could have totally done that.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I wasn't
yeah,
thinking
yeah.
I was going to. Could you imagine if I would have done it as a shot? Then it would have been like, oh, that was so not tequila. That was so not tequila.
So back to the issue at hand.
Oh, yeah.
So besides testing them, another thing that we talked about with Chuck Joyner was, because Twitter, see, in my head, visually, I like to think of us as like gathered together, like sheep in a herd, perhaps, in the Facebook community.
God.
But you can't really do that on Twitter. There's no gathering of people on Twitter. It's all very random. So then it was suggested Google+, which, by the way, is not typically a women's forum.
No, it's not.
Tons of sausages on the Google+.
But hello, Miss Lynette
Young.
Young.
Yes. Lynette Young, yes.
Yeah,
she is a Google+ speaker and expert, and she started Women of Google+.
Hey, Lynette. Are you there?
She listens.
Lynette, are you there?
Maybe we could just near her. And
hey, you know what we could do? We could call this episode Lynette, are you there? But no, but maybe she could advise us. Maybe we can have her advise us about that. Because what do you guys?
Yes.
What do you think, Lynette? Should we have a Google group that is
that would include the dudes?
Yes, that include.
Let's call this episode "Include the Dude" because it rhymes.
That's great,
and it's good,
and that'll be great because then I don't have to email you for a name.
Which, by the way, you guys don't know, that happens every week. And she emails me with the possibility of a title with 100 words in it. Every time I'm just like, why don't you just say hot dogs and soda?
I know.
She's like, perfect!
I know.
That's always like, do you think we should eat the hot dog on the bun, or should we have the soda with the hot dogs and soda? That's the title.
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. I did not miss it. Yeah. So we can
tell I'm hungry.
Yes, I know, right? I'm not actually very hungry.
No, because I'm talking about hot dogs.
But
I'm talking about men. That's why I brought that up.
Oh my God! No, you did not say that. Jesus,
you're gonna edit that out.
No.
Okay.
But
okay.
I'm not editing. So
that was funny.
I brought that up, and then I just thought it just made us think that the first thing I thought was like asking you guys. So you that are listening, that are part of the She Podcast community on Facebook, we really would love your voices. Even if you completely disagree, even if you kind of think like, oh my God, that's the scariest thing I've ever heard because it's without the guys. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
So try and remember, first of all, that we don't really man bash, and I don't want to necessarily hear feedback if you're going to do that. However, I know there are concerns about having men interface in our group simply because it's a comfortable place to post your questions, simply because no one in there is aggressive, overly salesy, or, you know, most people are compassionate about giving answers. But you know what, Elsie? I also realized I didn't ask you. How do you feel about using Google Plus? I don't touch it.
Well, see, I don't touch Google. That was the other question.
I don't touch it at all.
Well, see, here's how. Okay, because Chuck actually talked about really interesting stuff. He said using something like Hootsuite. And I thought, wow, I would be okay with that and maybe cultivating a conversation. But wait. Because I already
have
to
go on there and listen to the answers, though.
Well, I have the Buffer account, and this is what I do for Libsyn. And sadly, I don't engage at Libsyn very much. Oh, I think I had an idea. Okay, so here's the thing. We have a Libsyn Google Plus page, right? Mm-hmm. And I go there periodically, but not really. But Crystal O'Connor, our beautiful support team staffer, who is an incredible voice in the female tech space, mm-hmm. She hosts Libsyn Live with me, mm-hmm. a co-host. She's at the helm of that podcast. She works and does Google Hangouts all the time, obviously, because she runs them. And she also is a part of a community. I think it's called Podcasters. Oh gosh darn it! What is it when you recovery or? I don't know, something like that, like a support group, podcaster support group.
Recovery.
I know. I was thinking, like, I was trying to figure out how it was like.
Oh,
I think that's what it's called. I hope I got the right word. So Crystal is really great with it, and I was wondering if maybe I can just ask her that she could manage a little bit of the She Podcast Google Plus page.
And probably Annette could help.
Or somebody, you know, somebody who can be maybe a moderator for us and just, like, send us emails or alert us to a conversation that really needs to be moderated, and then I can just jump in, or you can just jump in, or both of us once a week or twice a week or whatever, to be able to do that. Just because it is out of my workflow, but in terms of posting, it's fine because I think Edgar posts to Google Plus, as does Buffer. And I have access to both of those because that's how I manage the Libsyn page, is through Buffer.
My ride's
what
here.
Do you think? Your brother will be quiet.
The cop just walked
by. It's a very tall
cop.
Lady cop. Yes, very. Oh, no. What if she comes here?
She really is on the prowl.
She is on the prowl. I wonder what.
Hide me.
What if she comes here? We could have, like, the whole conversation on tape. But anyway, so what do you guys think? We want a little bit of feedback from you guys about this whole situation to see how we can be more inclusive to
our male listeners, which isn't to say, you know, listen, I also want you to think about this. If they are male listeners of our show,
yes,
they already know what we like and don't like, what we expect from our community,
right.
That we don't like review exchanges, that we're not into podcasting for dollars,
true, that
we don't really like the sales pitch or the, you know what I mean? So just keep that in mind. These are people that listen to our show because they like our show, they're not just trying to get into our community so they can sell us a bunch of crap, like in every other podcasting community.
But they might have some opinions that perhaps we're not even thinking about. I don't know. It could be a but this is the other thing I thought. You know,
how's that possible? There's 200,000 people in there. How many opinions could you?
No, but I mean,
do we need?
And then I thought we're concerned about them being part of the conversation or overtaking possibly the conversation. What about if we let them in and then they go, oh my God, these women.
Get me out of here.
Get me out of here. I know. So maybe they're just going to be like not even interested. So there's that aspect of it as well.
Another thing you can consider, which I thought of while we were talking to Chuck, is out of the 2,000 women in this group, probably many of them don't listen to the show, and they just want to be part of a podcasting community so they can promote their own crap.
Right.
They could be doing silently the thing that we don't want the dudes to do, and we just don't know or haven't listened because, you know, if you have a pair, you're in, right? And if you have a rack, you're in. So we don't really do a test for anybody.
Right.
Is it not fair to test the men
on
their loyalty? Because we're not testing the women on theirs.
Right.
And we really just want, I mean, not every every Facebook group is just listeners. If they want to support each other and they don't have time to listen to the show, that's fine. Then it just it's getting gray again, because if we don't want just any dude in there to support us, we can have that in Podcasters Community or Podcasters Tech Talk or Podcast Movement Group or any right. other. I don't want it to just become any other community. I like what we have now.
And I like
that means
it too.
I have to ignore the dudes. I'm almost like sad but willing to do it, I guess.
Yeah, but I kind of, but I see.
I'm devil's advocating. I'm advocating for the devil.
So anyway, that's our problem. So if you guys have any thoughts, I think we've kind of talked this to the ground, but now we have a different thing to kind of switch into. So Miss Kathy, we're going to listen to her chat here in just 1 second. She sent us some feedback.
Hi, Jess. Hi, Elsie. It's Kathy Kelly from the Special Mouse Podcast. You know I've been a sheep podcast listener from day one, and I love this show. Elsie, you recently shared something in the Facebook group that was incredibly valuable to me right now, an episode of Joanna Penn's Creative Pen podcast, How to Use Audio and Podcasting Effectively When Promoting Your Book. Now, next week I'm launching a month-long Kickstarter campaign for a book that I'm writing, so naturally I found the discussion to be fascinating. And it got me thinking, am I using my podcast platform effectively as a way to ensure the success of my crowdfunding? So far, I'm using it as a way to establish myself as an authority by including testimonials from my listeners. And I'm using it in my backer rewards by offering everything from public thank you shout-outs at the lower levels to advertising and promotion opportunities at the higher levels. Can you two think of any other ways to take advantage of a podcast platform when you are crowdfunding? Thank you, Jess. Thanks, Elsie.
All right. So, Kathy, the first piece of feedback that I have for you is that you didn't mention
the friggin' thing.
Campaign.
Yeah.
No, I have to go look for it because I should have prepped. Oh, you know what? I can't even look for it in here. You need to look on your phone because I don't have Wi-Fi. What is her Kickstarter campaign? But anyway, her podcast is the Special Mouse Podcast. The Special Mouse Podcast. And she is launching, I believe, a Kickstarter campaign for a book that she wants to write, which, and this is all coming from my head.
An ebook, though, right?
An ebook. I don't know yet. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. A book, something that you read. So, about focusing on, is it special? And that's why I don't want to get deeper. But somebody that has special needs, I don't know if it's autistic children specifically. But
It is.
Oh, my God. This is so sad. I think we should have prepped this a little bit easier, but that's what tequila and pina coladas without amaretto do for you, which I can't even pronounce. So
the project is to help publish my oncoming book, Walt Disney World with Autism, A Special Needs Guide.
Okay.
A book which, by the way, I'm really surprised hasn't been written by anyone yet, considering there's so many families with autism.
Yeah. Dude. Kathy, you rock
it. It costs money to deliver and produce the podcast. The Kickstarter
Absolutely.
Will cover her. And probably the book expenses.
Okay, so we just needed to get that out there. So you guys, if this already like makes your heart pitter-patter and this is something that is close to your heart, you need to go donate to this campaign or support this campaign, and we'll have a link in the show notes. But her whole question was like how to promote this, like how to get the word out, how to, you know, empower or not empower, but actually you utilize your existing community to push a Kickstarter campaign. I mean, how do you do that? How do you know you're ready for a Kickstarter campaign? How do you have the backing to do it? How do you sell it? Jess, the ball is in your court.
I mean, not to be Captain Obvious, but the first thing would be mention it on the show. You
right.
definitely have
okay.
to.
We haven't listened
people.
As a, I haven't listened to her latest. I'm sure she has. I'm sure
I hope
she has,
but I'm assuming.
I'm sure
let's assume
has.
Not.
Okay, but
and
that's,
you know, yeah,
step
mention
one.
It at the end of every show. Please visit my Kickstarter. Please help families with autism, and not just visit my Kickstarter. Okay, you cannot make it about you, Kathleen Kelly. Not that you would, because you're a nurse and you're very giving. But but anytime you have any charitable project, anything you want people to donate to, you really have to make it about the cause and not that you're promoting it. So it really has to be communicated in a way. Please help families with autism. you know, get this resource guide. Please help me create this for other people. Not please donate to my Kickstarter, right. Because 800 people have asked them that day already on Facebook, right. To donate to their Verstunken Kickstarter,
yes.
Right?
Yes, yeah, totally.
There's a little Yiddish for you.
Yeah.
So that's number one, is mention it, but do it in a way that's appealing and not like help me, right?
Right, absolutely.
And then I'm a huge advocate of the Facebook ad. I think if you could target families with autism.
Right.
And do like a, you know, hey, try, you know, support this project, helping you go to Disney World with your family. Click here to learn more, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And then put a Facebook pixel on the site so you can see how many conversions you've gotten. And that's a whole thing about Facebook ads and how to make them successful and optimize for success and clicks and that kind of thing.
Wait, before we go into the next thing, my personal choice, but... is Claire Pelletreau's stuff.
Yes, like she's good at that.
She's very good at what she does there. She's got a lot of training, free training people on her website, ClairePels.com. You'll have a link in the show notes. And I have personally worked with her for Facebook ads, and she really knows her stuff. I've worked one-on-one with her. And I have worked also with just plain old, I took her course. It's like a little, I guess, study when you can't. What is it, study when you can't think? What's where you
nothing,
have your face?
No,
okay.
Sorry.
But anyway, she has a course that you can purchase as well. So I do know that she knows her stuff. But, you know, all the stuff that she teaches is free on her website. You just have to read her course. You just have to read her stuff.
Mm-hmm. As my ex-husband says, if it's free, it's for me.
Yeah.
That's why.
So there's that.
Ex.
But anyway,
yeah, so Claire's really, very smart. Yes,
and
so
I think we're going to have her on our show very, very soon because she really wants to do how to optimize podcasting stuff. But anyway,
so yeah, so the Facebook ad, and then I think, you know, and I know a few, but look in your podcasting section for other podcasts that speak to autistic families or autistic people or who are about autism, and you have two choices: you can either pitch to be on the show. Or you can offer them a little sponsorship. Make a little ad.
Oh, my God, that's so brilliant, dude.
On as many podcasts as you can, because if they have 10 listeners or 100, it's still going to help you fund your project.
Yeah, baby.
Right? So make a 30-second spot. Contact them. How much would it be to put a 30-second spot for the next whatever, however long your Kickstarter, the next 2 months, 1 month, whatever.
Yep.
Or if they don't take sponsors, well, I'd love to be on your show, you know. First, I mean, which is more important, Alice? Like, should they ask to be a guest or ask for the sponsorship first? Because, the one should be the ask and the other should be the consolation prize, right? Like, I'd like to be on your show, but if you say no, can I at least pay you for an ad?
Oh.
Maybe that's how it should be.
I think it could be I don't know. I could do it the other way. Or both, but I think a conversation, but if it's a targeted podcast. But see, here's the other thing. Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing that I found to be the most helpful for you, Miss Kathy, and I believe that this is something that this is number one, you're like an amazing human being, what you're doing. We're already talking about you right now because you're awesome.
Right.
So, if you can hook up with people who already support you, who already love you, that are in the podcast community, just ask them to share your campaign. I think that even though you did that for us, we're doing it in a way that is both helping you and it also helping our community. Because I do know that the there's a specific example for this. I think in Mac Power Users, the woman, she used to work for Smile Software, and she started a very small project that she wanted that was like, I think, coding for girls, like a teenage coding kind of course thing.
Yeah.
And her idea was so amazing that it was just to have girls create apps to learn to code. And I don't know the name of that. I'm going to put that in the show notes as well. And what happened is she was interviewed just on Smile Software, and then she went off on her passion project in the Mac, on the Mac Power Users podcast.
Okay.
And the Mac Power, you know, the Mac community is so dense and so rich, like Chuck Joyner and all that stuff.
Right.
He's part of that. And they all kind of talked about this project that she had at Smile, because everybody loves Text Expander, and everybody loves all those PDF Pen Pro and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all kind of wanted to support her on this, like, coding for girls, because how amazing is that, right? Isn't that,
well, yeah,
wouldn't that make you happy?
There's something in Philly. There's a charity in Philly called Tech Girls, and it basically encourages women to go into tech.
And so you kind of want to do that. And so what happens is people came out in droves to want to support this project, and then like, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they had all this money. Mm-hmm. Then it was a camp thing. Mm-hmm. So it was like so it was really just incredibly funded by basically the Mac community.
Okay.
Because they were so pro of that. Mm-hmm. And I just think like if Kathy has people that really support her like that and just kind of mention the way that we are so passionate about her work, mm-hmm. that people will go like, oh, I want to support that campaign. And people come out of the woodwork to do that. Mm-hmm. I think if there's conversation about it and you do a very specific outreach to people who have a platform that inspire conversation that really digs deep into them, as opposed to just like being strategic, meaning like, oh, if so and so talks to me, but somebody who really respects your work and also maybe has an autistic child or maybe have been in somehow, like I think of Kim Trumbo with Generosity Philosophy. I think somebody who's like that, an amazing human being who just is like such like a cheerleader for everything and is such a social advocate for
stuff
like that is good. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? No, seriously.
And generous?
Yeah. Why not advocate to that, to people who are naturally aligning with supporting people who need more of a voice?
Yeah.
To just say like, hey, here I am. Like you would be a great guest on Generosity
Kim's show.
Philosophy.
Sorry, Kim.
maybe she already had her on her show. You never know.
But that's a really good idea. Very strategic and smart. It might take a little more.
But at the same time, though, it's really connected, though, mm-hmm. you know? And maybe to have something like that resonates with that. And people say, like, I want to help you. Instead of saying, like, thanks. You just be like, thank you. This is what you can do. And have, like, a really strategic plan of how they can help you. Because people are going to say that. If somebody, you know, put these tweets out. Have, like, a little, I don't know, a packet, maybe? Mm-hmm. A social media packet. Mm-hmm. Audio promos for it. Like, something that you can automatically give somebody so it makes it easy for them to do it for you. Mm-hmm. Because I know that that's the hardest thing for me. If I want to help somebody, it's like, what do I do? What's the most important thing you want me to do right now? Do you want me to share your link?
Yeah.
Do you want people to
action
donate
items.
Money?
Specific action
do you want
items.
Yeah, and so, like, to have just, like, three things. You can do this, this, and this, and here's all the corresponding stuff. So you have a little packet that people can pick and choose what they want. And if they want to do something special for you, good for you. Good for them, but, you know, not
I don't know if you just said this, but send an email with those three action items,
right.
like, to people like me and Elsie. Like, because I have a friend who interviewed me a year or so ago because I'm a Jew with a tattoo, of all things. And,
So that's where the recording dropped off. How about that, Miss Jess? What were you talking about? A Jew with a tattoo that you did an interview about a year ago. I can't remember. What?
Well, what's sad is that I think we said there that I was drinking.
Yes.
A pina colada, and Elsie had a
tequila.
Straight, and I had taken her amaretto.
Yes. Yes.
And poured it into my pina colada. Now I don't remember why I was saying that story, but I will finish I'll finish the general idea, which was that Jews aren't necessarily supposed to have tattoos. And like my friend Galit, who actually is on my show this week, she interviewed me because I'm a Jew with a tattoo, and there aren't that many of those. And so because in our religion, you're not supposed to desecrate the body. There's a couple different reasons. A, you're not supposed to desecrate the body, but that's ship has sailed because my ears are pierced. And then B, I think because of the Holocaust, there's like not a new, it's not, you can't modify the Torah or whatever, but like most Jewish people who are older don't want you to get a tattoo because we were tattooed in Germany with numbers and stuff. So older people are offended if Jewish youngsters get tattoos, but I happen to get a tattoo of a chai, which is a Hebrew letter meaning life. It's also the number 18. And so, so if you ever get a gift from a Jew and it's like a derivative of 18, that's why, because it means life. So when you give gifts, it's like $18 or $36 or $180 because it means you're wishing them a long life. Let's talk about a tangent. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Well, I learned so much. That was. I don't think you told it. You did not say this when we were together, or if you did.
I don't know why I was telling this story, which is why I'm rambling endlessly. So,
well, I think it had something to do about sending an email of those action items that you were going to, you know, because Kathy and her Kickstarter magazine, her Kickstarter campaign. And
oh, yes.
Okay.
I remember now.
Oh my God. Okay. Great.
Oh God. Let me just finish the story though.
Okay.
So I got the tattoo with the chai,
yeah.
And my mother, I had to fake my mother out, and I told her it was fake for like the longest time till after a month. She was like, okay, obviously it's not fading. I know it's real. And I said, yeah, but I got a Hebrew letter because it means so much to me. And she goes, that's the ultimate insult.
Oh.
Okay, now I remember. Thank you, because of the email with the action items. Okay, so Galit, who did that interview with me. Thank you, Elsie.
You're welcome.
By the way. Okay, she did that interview with me a year ago. And, okay, and so it's in the email. She goes, do you have an email address? I want to send you something I'm so excited about. And I said, okay, great. So the email says, big news, huge, and in equal parts excited and nervy, I need you. This is what we were trying to explain to Kathleen. Okay, so the email in a nutshell says, I have news. I've been working my tush off this year, writing a book about social media and children and helping children navigate social media. It's called Kindness Wins, because she was cyberbullied, another person who was cyberbullied. So she goes, so here's what the email says, basically, and it's highlighted in different colors. If you have a minute, I would love for you to be a part of the Thunderclap campaign. It would mean so much if you could just add it to your want to read Goodreads list. Or if you have a couple minutes, it would be awesome if you could recommend my book to your friends via Facebook. If you have a little longer, it would be so awesome if you would like take a look at a book preview or maybe review my book on Amazon. And if you have a little longer than that, what if you could write a blog post about me and my book? And that would be so cool. Well, meanwhile, I don't want to do any of those things.
Right.
Because all of that takes too long for me. So I was like, Galit, I don't have, you know, it's so funny because I'm like, no, I don't have a minute to do a book review. But why don't you come on my show for an hour and a half, right? So, but I was like, so instead I wrote her back and I was just like, why don't you come on my show and we'll talk about your book and why you wrote it and stuff like that. Because I did want to help her. But I didn't want to do a Goodreads list. You know what I mean? Like, but the point is she gave me an email with like, phased suggestions. If you have a second, can you help me with this? If you feel strongly, do this, 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 and this. That's what you're right. Thank you for reminding me. That's why we were talking about this. Cause she did it. I thought she did it perfectly and it opened up you know, if I didn't have my own show, I probably would have picked one of those things, however small, to help her. And I thought it was great that she gave suggestions. It just so happens that I did have a show and I invited her on and said, and it was actually a really good episode. One of my favorite ones.
Oh.
She's so smart. But, so that's why I was telling Kathleen, send an email like that to help your Kickstarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the point was, right? Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That is exactly. No, that was it. You know what? It's so funny that I don't think I heard you say the answer.
You probably were knee deep in your tequila. You probably didn't.
So thank you. That was really awesome. And it's probably better that we lost that part of the recording. But then after we stopped talking about the Kathleen thing, and then we moved on to some NMX feedback because we were in there. And so we went off a little bit about that for the rest. And I think that maybe it's a really good time for us to now that we're kind of removed from it, right? We came back about a week ago, kind of for us. So what do you say? What do you think? So let's concentrate on some of the good stuff. Like what was like the best thing ever about NMX?
For me, it was it was seeing my friends and doing the women's meetup, the podcasting meetup, even though I would have liked to have spoken with all of you a little longer or more.
You were like, I took a picture of you and it was so funny because, all right, so
I was all lonely at the front door.
I know you were. Cause the meetup was amazing. It was, I mean, amazing because it was compact. It was intimate. It was, mm-hmm. it was lovely. People were chatting. You could tell that people were really having a good time with each other.
Mm-hmm. And thank you to Schedule Max and Natalie Ekdahl for buying everyone a drink.
Oh my God.
That was
so
nice.
That was super nice. And absolutely.
They're a great sponsor.
Absolutely. And, so we love to see that. They were really supportive of us there. And But I did take, I took pictures, which I've not posted. And, I took a picture of you and I was, and I looked at that picture and I'm like, why did I take a picture of this empty space? And I go, oh, it's because it's Jessica.
Oh, no, wait.
Standing at the front door.
It's Jessica.
It's by herself. She's all the way at the front and I didn't even see her. So, oh my God, I don't even understand. Okay.
But that was my, I would say that was my favorite part. You know, I have to say something about events just in general. And that was like, when I came to this event, I was sort of salty about the fact that like we were, met up with NAB. When I got there, I was salty about the fact that the hotel was having so much work done on it. And it was kind of inconvenient because they were drilling in the morning. I was just salty about a couple of things and I may not have joined in as much with things as I did the previous year. And I came home feeling like maybe I wouldn't go again. And then I saw someone else's feed, somebody that I that just joined the group like a couple of days ago. Her name is Carol Sanek. And she has a show, something about Crazy Marketing Lady. She's like the Crazy Marketing Lady or something like that. And like she posted pictures of herself with like Pat Flynn and Krista and all these. And she's like having such a good time and like posting herself with at booths and learning things and what a great time she had. And I thought, you know, it's all about attitude because I felt like when I saw her feed, she really made the most of the experience regardless of what was going on. Whereas like I let a lot of crap get into my head about it. Right. And I may not have made the most of it the way I think I should have now or would have liked to.
Yeah.
The introvert part of me takes over and not a nice way. I didn't want that to happen this time, but I let it happen this time, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for me to say like so much was great about NMX because compared to last year, I felt like the show, was so much more intimate the year before and we were isolated and I felt like I could find everyone I wanted to see so much more easily than I could this year. Because this year I felt like I was walking around in a sea of strangers because it was part of the NAB. They didn't know what the NMX was. I couldn't ask anyone for help or directions. Like running into somebody I knew was almost like a miracle because it was so big. And I think it intimidated me and I wish that it hadn't because it made me end up going to less sessions and less meetups and less parties and less things. And I feel sad about that now. However, on the plus side, because of that, I got to spend really good quality time with you, Elsie. Really good quality time with Natalie and my roommates, Maggie and Alea. And I spoke with Maggie and Alea, and that was super fun. And the people that I did get to see and meet, I was so thrilled to see and meet. And I had a really good time with the people that I did talk to. So that was positive for me. I just almost wish that, I don't know, like my other personality had come out a little more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I had a completely different experience than you did simply because I was at the booth the whole time.
So people come up to you and you get to see a million people.
Yes, I did get to see a million people. And it was really interesting because we had five people over at the Libsyn booth. So that's what I was there with Libsyn. And
that's
we saw
so nice.
Like, I know, it was so great to have all five of us there. And initially I thought, oh gosh, that's going to give us so much spare time. And we were not, we did not have spare time. The booth was full most of the time we were there, which was kind of amazing. And I lost my voice.
Because I had to go there and stand in line to talk to you. That was new.
It was crazy because people kept coming up and it was fantastic. It's just that you have to talk a lot, right? That's what it's about. And it was very challenging for me, especially when you were just getting there. And mm-hmm. I had to even, you know, I communicate with you and I had to communicate with Randy and house stuff and mm-hmm. just regular emails. And I could barely look at my phone to check the text, mm-hmm. like reading like a two sentence text or, you know, message from Facebook was just too much because there was so many people in my face, but it was awesome, but it was really, really challenging. And so eating was a little bit of a challenge for me. I had a really good time because I did get a chance to meet a lot of people. Like you said, people do tend to come to you. But I didn't realize, I had no idea that there were other, like that there was a South Hall and there was another hall that was really
big.
My God. Like I had no idea.
That's a shame because you missed the NAB. The last day I was there, I just was determined to wander around and find some action. So I probably walked 4 miles just walking around all the different booths and stuff, trying to find something exciting. And the one exciting thing I did find was the store, the NAB store. So cool. I found all these great broadcasting and podcasting t-shirts.
Oh, God.
They were selling microphones and hats that say director
and
producer.
Sad.
Why?
Don't even tell me.
It was so cool. I know. Well, you had already gone. By the time I did that, you left. You left that morning, and I didn't leave till midnight. It was actually after I saw you, and I was like, bye, Elsie, have a good flight. That's when I found it.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't you remember? Because I sent you a text.
You did send me a text.
I sent her a text with the hall that said professional audio equipment, and I was like, I'm going to geek out now. But I'll tell you what, I walked in there and turned around and walked out because unless you're, you know, Clear Channel, that stuff's not interesting. Like, it was halls and rows of huge pieces of equipment, giant mixers, overhead microphone, like nothing that we could ever buy or even carry.
Right.
Much less put in our little home studios. Like I was kind of hoping like, ooh, I'll see like a little microphone with like a porta booth.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to, you know, I was hoping for like little tchotchkes to buy to make my sound booth a little better here, which doesn't exist at the moment. No. It was for people who had like huge sound studios. And so I didn't really get to geek out the way that I'd like. So
okay.
That way I feel like a little bit like until I know more of what I'm doing, the NAB show is not, that particularly wasn't relevant to me, but Rosemary Nickel, if you listen, she told me she did mostly NAB stuff and not really much NMX stuff. And I just thought, what the hell is relevant for us in there? Like, it's all super, super, super pro stuff.
I think what she was talking about is that she went to she snuck in a session or something.
Yeah, she went to their session.
Yeah, which she learned a lot from because it was for, I guess there was one about a documentary. I remember she said that, telling a story in a documentary and all that stuff. And she learned a lot in there. I feel that what was challenging is that even when I did have time, where would I go? Like, there were the basics first
the
to
store.
Find. Like, no. What I'm saying is they were really the basics. Like, the bathroom, where's the bathroom? And then finding the bathroom was like the one thing.
So
and then
away.
Where's the food? Oh, here. The food is here. So there were still like little areas like that where I didn't quite know where the basics were. And so I had to take care of like just basic needs before I could really even expand my idea. And I really wanted to go to Blue Microphones and show them my card because I have a card. My personal card has me kissing a Blue Microphone on it. And it looks like a really cute picture. And I was going to pitch us as a sponsor. I really just wanted to take that and just go. And I'm like, okay,
told me I would have done that.
I'm going to go to Blue Microphones. And then Rob was like, okay, I'll find it for you. And he's like, I can't find it. And then I couldn't find it. And then we're both sitting at the computer wasting time finding Blue Microphones and we can't find them. And I thought,
I never saw it either.
That is so, well, they are, I mean, I don't even know if they were, that's the whole point is, were they there?
Too big. Yeah.
I don't know. It's too big. And so there were a key people that I wanted to meet that were there that I did not get a chance to meet, which was tough. So
yeah, that part's tough. And like, I mean, my dad told me he used to go for a long time, 3,000 vendors.
Wow. That's insane. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot of stuff there. And so I think if you want to go to, and I believe it's going to be mixed next year as well. Part of it that it needs to be before you go to NMX, you really do need to kind of study up. You really do need to do that because for all the other places that I've gone to, like the NMXs in the past and the other conferences that I've been to, I haven't really studied up anything. It's something like you just show up and you just sort of like,
hey,
what's next
for podcast movement at all?
You kind of look at the stuff and you go, hey, I'll just go to these sessions. This seems neat. Like the sessions are, but everything is relatively close and you can kind of find it with no pre-thought. And even if you do get, like, for whatever reason, somebody calls your name and you miss a session, you meet people on the way there. Whereas with this, it seems like you have to be very deliberate. I'm going to go to these things. And if you don't book to your session, you're probably going to miss it because more likely than not, if you're not familiar with it, you might get lost. So you just have to be
standing room only. It was tough.
Just have to be a little bit more deliberate about it. So and sadly I cannot comment about the sessions themselves because I only attended yours, you know, the one that you
but it was fantastic.
It was fantastic. It was very informative. And it had a lot. And what some of the comments that I saw is that it was really down to earth and it was so nice to hear people just taking the, you know, just saying it, just talking normal to people about advice instead of trying to pitch something or sell something, which it seems like It happens a lot, but I can't really make a generalization again, because I did not go to any other sessions. So I don't really know what the feel was like, but
very good as well. If you guys missed Elsie's, it was a lot of like, ways of stretching and standing and breathing so that your voice sounds better, which was so informative and good. I loved it.
And I scared people, but it was, you know, it was
no,
a little,
you didn't. It was, people stayed, which I was like, I did turn around and look to see if people were leaving and they didn't. So I was impressed by that.
But I know you're like, I know I gave them plenty of opportunities to leave.
You did.
But there, like, you know, but I think what was tough is that a lot of the sessions didn't have descriptions. And that's the complaint that I heard a lot, that people can't really go off the somebody's title because you don't really know what it's about. And there were some people that missed sessions that they wanted to attend because they didn't really know what the session was about because there was no description. And so I did my best to, at least from my social media, as I pushed it out, to make sure that people were at least prepared for what my session was like, because the title of my session, I didn't really pick. It's not the title that I pitched. And so it was completely different. And that was really hard for me to, but then at the same time, you kind of deal, you know, if you're, that's the hand that you were dealt. So fix it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did. I tried my best to make sure that people understood what it was from my perspective. And I feel that a lot of people came, you know,
yeah, was kind they didn't of leave is the point. She was like, it's not about tech and microphones. She basically was like, leave now.
Yes.
If you don't want to hear about the, you know, and people stayed. So I was like, well, all right.
Well, all right. Yeah.
You're Elsie.
So that was, you know, that was really, really, that was really fantastic. And so I don't know. And so this is the question that I keep seeing in the group and in the groups, because it's not just in our group where it says
the groups.
So what's the difference between, you know, New Media Expo and Podcast Movement, and why should you attend?
Are you asking me?
I am asking you. Dun, 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 dun.
I know, the dead air. Sorry. Okay, so see, this is so hard because if it was based on this year, I don't know if I can give a good answer. Okay, so I have both. Actually, I happen to have both the sites pulled up right now, and I can say NMX is meant for bloggers, podcasters, web video creators, and just general content marketers. So like viral videos and blogging and email, et cetera. So those are like not necessarily the four tracks, although they might be the four tracks, but on their site, the event is for the general content creator. And so therefore they have speakers from people who are, you know, teaching you how to edit, teaching you how to blog better, how to make money blogging, how to make money content marketing, how to make money with your YouTube. I went to and this is the other thing, what Elsie was saying about, you know, I did a Women in New Media panel. I went to it and they were all YouTubers, and it became less relevant because I was like, oh, it's not just new media. It's web video, not new media. And so that was kind of annoying, but yeah, but they were interesting girls. And, Podcast Movement is all 100% about podcasting. Last year, it was just a little bit skewed towards the business. This year, I know they're very, very determined not to have that. So it's 100% podcasters. I felt more, first of all, it's more intimate than New Media Expo, just in general. And I went to both last year as well. And I can say that Podcast Movement it felt more intimate than New Media Expo, only because when you're a podcaster in a room full of podcasters, there's just something about it, especially when Cliff Ravenscraft is talking about how he's changed people's lives. I don't know. I felt teary. It like really moved me because I know that everyone in that room, you know, has the potential just by one episode to change someone's life. And you get that immediate feedback, or it's something about your voice that's helping people, or just whatever. I don't know. I don't know. It was more like I want to say like a religion or a cult, but that's not the right way of phrasing
it. That is not the right way. No.
But it feels like, I don't know. I don't want to be cliche. Like, it feels like you're with your people. Cause I never really, categorized myself the way you do, Elsie, on like a podcaster at heart, but it felt that way because I felt like I belonged. And at New Media Expo, there's so much of a huge mix of people. I mean, a blogger can mean anything. A web video person can mean anything. Podcasting is podcasting regardless of what your format is. So it felt more intimate that way. And then also the meetup, simply because it's all podcasters, our women's meetup was huge compared to what it was at NMX this year.
Right. And and I think that was also due to the fact, the women's meetup too, you're right. It was, everything is spread out. There are so many meetups happening at the same time. There was so little time sort of to meet in between things, events happening and whatnot. And you're right. I think if you really love, like, the reason that I love New Media Expo is because there are all these other different kinds of content creators. And I do like to learn from the video people and the bloggers and anybody else that's creating any other content that's like their thing, because you can always apply it to what you're doing. It's the way that I love to meet all those guys or to reconnect with them or to see those other bits of information that you kind of miss when you're in a specific space. And it's nice to be able to go like, oh, I really kind of wanted to do a little bit more with my YouTube channel. There's a session on that. I can just go attend it, right? So that you can learn all of those different things in one place. Now,
but I do think that PM will have that this time around, just geared towards a podcast,
right?
How
which
to
is
use
awesome,
YouTube
exactly
for your podcast.
That's
right?
Really
which is,
great.
Which will be. Yeah,
super
but go
awesome.
Ahead, sorry.
No. But that's that exactly. And with the podcast movement, it did have the potential to feel like at the beginning with New Media Expo when it first started, when it was podcast and New Media Expo or Portable Media Expo, which is when I started to attend, you know, early on, like 2007, 2008, 2009. It had a very intimate feel like that because all of us kind of knew each other. And when we went in there, you immediately felt like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. Oh my God, it's so-and-so. Because even though there were a lot of podcasts, there really weren't that many podcasts. It was such a much smaller community. And so it felt really nice. And I feel that that's exactly how I felt. Oh my God, I'm amongst my people. Like it was so great that everybody spoke the same language, meaning everybody knew what show notes was. Everybody had a call-in number. Everybody knew, you know, like there's like all kinds of things like that only podcasters really go through. And so that's why I really love that. And I think podcast movement is going to be moving towards that. And that what I love is that you do get an opportunity to have all of this insight that can only be applied to your pod or that you can apply to your podcast. Like you don't have to fake it. We don't have to pretend or open up to say like, this is for every blogger can apply this information. Every, you know, video person, you can just stick to podcasting. You just have to think, just think about podcasting. And it's really great to be able to do that. Plus everybody again, that you mostly would listen to is going to be there, which is kind of neato. And, I think that the speakers that they're bringing in to are very diverse with a lot of different types of experience in a variety of different areas of audio, which is really great also. So that I'm excited about to be able to see because, you see names that you haven't seen in the past and you might even look at a keynote speaker and go like, who's that? And I think that's good, right? I think that's good. It's good that to know that who's that instead of having somebody to go like, oh, him again, he's doing another keynote. Ooh. So there's something very nice about that. And it's lovely. And plus we're doing a whole entire day for our people, for She Podcasters. And we have an opportunity to really go deep into stuff and have like a workshop type session that's like from 9 to 3 of working on a variety of different aspects of your podcast, but not necessarily just your podcast, but things that really affect women podcasters. Or it's sort of like, I don't know, like I don't know how I see it. It's sort of like a spa day for She Podcasters where you get to sort of relax and do things, you know, and get immersed in something and then come out like a really in a profound way after it's over. So you guys will see a link in the show notes. We'll have it for the show notes, which is going to be awesome.
You know, the last thing really is that New Media Expo is really an older event that has evolved from something else. It used to be much more like Social Media Marketing World, and now it's different. And like Podcast Movement is brand new. So they're still trying things out, taking in our feedback, figuring out what works. And in that way, it's kind of exciting to be a part of like the first couple I don't know that if that means anything to whoever's listening and you want to know the difference. Like, to me, being on the ground floor of this type of event is super fun.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
Yeah. You're totally right about that. Because, and actually, New Media Expo, I believe, gosh, I forgot. Because I listened to Dave Jackson's podcast episode about New Media Expo, and he did share, I'm not sure if it's a page or if it's an email. I believe it's a page where you can give feedback. And that's what they're actually really looking for, that because there were a lot of things that happened through this merging of NAB and NMX that were not optimal. So they didn't really have an entire year to plan for NMX being part of NAB, because the sort of like the go-ahead happened sometime in the middle of the year. And so this time, since it's going to happen next year, they'll will have the opportunity to plan for a year to be able to follow through. So if any of you guys listening did attend NMX, I will go ahead and put a link in the show notes here for where you can go leave feedback about the sessions that you attended or things that kind of worked really well for you or things that you feel could have been better so that they can really start to address it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's a really good thing to do. So, well, good. So now I just kind of want to do a really quick shout out, because I feel now we've covered it all. We have a really nice hefty episode for y'all. but
needy.
I want to need me. We have a quick shout out to Sarah Koenig, because Serial won a Peabody Award. How amazing is
Ta-da!
That? Ta-da! So this is the first time that a podcast has ever gotten a Peabody Award. And just as a quick thing, it's like this really recognizes distinguished and meritorious public service by American radio and television stations, networks, online media producing organizations, and individuals, which is really great. And so kudos to her. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And another really thankful shout out to one of our She podcasters, Andrea, I know if you're listening, thank you so much. She
Hello?
Found my rings in the bathroom. Remember when I lost my rings in the bathroom? For gosh sake.
Oh.
Holy cow. Yeah. So I went, you know, I don't really wear rings here up in the mountains. So then I went to the bathroom and I took off my beautiful rings and I, you know, left them on the counter and I left. In Vegas, I left my rings on the counter in the bathroom, which is no good. So she very thankfully grabbed them and gave them to the NMX people. And then she found me and she told me about it. So thank you, Andrea. You are a godsend. And I love you very much for that forever and ever. So yay. That's it, right?
That's it. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yes, if you have any feedback, please send it over to feedback@shepodcast.com. And you will hear, and if you are interested in the Podcasting School for Women, it is coming up very, very soon. Podcastingschoolforwomen.com. Boom.
Yay.
Yay. All right, yo. See you next time.
See ya.
Bye.
Remember, if you want to do podcasting your way, do it upright and head on over to podcastingschoolforwomen.com. Changing the world, one episode at a time.